Stay Fanning on 2FM.
Okay, now, sitting in front of me here in the studio is four times All-Ireland winner and an awful lot more besides, Paul Galvin, GAA's most stylish man, of course. Own range of clothes in Dunn Stores, which I want to talk about. And on top of all that, he's about to get married pretty soon as well. And I want to talk about everything and everything. But let's just take a look, first of all, at what you're up to at the moment. Because, like, you know, you have, this is something that I don't even necessarily understand. You have a new range of clothes in Dunn Stores. Take me through that, will you?
Yeah. It's a long story, Dave, in a way. I'll make it as short as I can. I retired from football last year because professionally I just felt, you know, football is an amateur game, and I was working and working hard, but I wasn't making the progress I really wanted to make in terms of what I was doing with menswear and clothing and that. So I was operating a website, advertising for brands through the website, but I wanted to start making product and I wanted to start my own clothing line. So I finished with football and I wrote a book, and then I started on the process of making some clothing, and I registered a few trademark names. And anyway, to make a long story short, I ended up making a lot of product in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And when it came to the crunch of actually beginning to sell the product, I figured, you know, I would need help. I would need a partner, a retail partner. And I made contact with the boss of Dunn's, Margaret Heffernan, and she was brilliant. She was really open to my ideas, and she really kind of got me. And she
was open to your ideas, i.e. that you wanted to do a fashion thing, or she actually looked at what your ideas for fashion were and said, I like that, that's good for Dunn's.
Yeah, that, I think, you know, that I think she opened the door for me to bring in my product into the design team in Dunn's, which I did. I had about 12 to 15 pieces of shirting and trousers and shoes made, and it was very simple. No, listen, it was by no means, we'll say, you know, it was a beginner's yeah, effort. Some of the pieces were good, some of them were kind of DIY, you know. But I think what the Dunn's people saw was that I had, you know, a point of view and an interest and a level of appreciation and kind of knowledge of what I was talking about, that they said, you know what, you know, maybe this is something we can work together on, and that's how it started.
Well, they have like 155 shops all around the world. Well, certainly like in Spain and all this part of the world, in Western Europe here, in the UK and Ireland, etc. So like, obviously it's a huge audience, if that's the right word for it, or
it is
retail persons,
market,
and therefore a big market of
absolutely,
people who walk into a shop. Like, the whole idea of doing this, it didn't come from any part of who you were in your family. So like, when you started really getting into social media and doing all the stuff, the blogging stuff, which is the personal style and the interest, and the Twitter, which spreads online awareness of who and what you are, did you suddenly realise, I have a little bit of an idea, social media can really get it everywhere, and you suddenly realise that 2 years later that you didn't need to know anything about it as a kid or get it from your family?
Yeah, you know, I think that's an interesting point, in that the work I do with Dunn's now is part design. So there's three aspects to it. There's part design, where I'm bringing design ideas via mood board and presenting them to the design team. Then there's a storytelling aspect, whereby I'm naming the collection and writing the story, the backstory, the inspiration of the collection. And the third kind of aspect of it is the online social media advertising, you know. So, yeah, I suppose things just came together, Dave. Yeah. This interest I had, and I kind of pursued it, and a door opened here, and I kept pursuing it, and a door opened with Dunn's eventually to kind of allow me to do what I wanted to do, which was to, you know, make some product. And I think maybe, you know, help the young men in Ireland. I think, you know, there's an opportunity now for, like, to start a new conversation amongst young men, and about how they dress, and about how we perceive ourselves as Irishmen, and our self-esteem, and just expressing ourselves, and growing up a little bit, I think, about clothing, and, you know, how we appear, and how we think about ourselves.
But, like,
you know,
there's more to Paul Galvin than that, in terms of even what you're doing now with a new range of clothes. Like, if you talk about expression and creativity or mental well-being, and all of this seems to be kind of tied into a conversation that a lot of people are having over the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, that you are in the front of a lot of this in terms of just getting the whole thing across. Like, for instance, like, you've often talked about being more inspired by, say, lyrics or poetry or whatever it happens to be, than necessarily by people, and that it's all one big, huge, different way of looking at the world than, for instance, with all due respect, than your peers and contemporaries, that who you played GAA with.
I don't know. I mean,
well, it'd be a bit unfair. I don't mean to be, but like, I mean, like, you know, there's more of a one dimension. Most people have a more of a one dimensional view on life, and I think a lot of people who play sport do.
I don't know.
Is that being unfair? Is it?
Maybe a little. Maybe
not
a little.
Not many have written the book like you've written, and not many read dictionaries either.
No. Well, I kind of wrote a book. I was a teacher for years, and I kind of was interested in language and languages, and you know, I mean, there's a young generation of sportsmen I think that are much more kind of aware of themselves nowadays. Maybe my generation. You know, like you just said earlier, a lot of men just aren't really interested. You know what I mean? They're just interested in other things. And I had this interest and I wanted to pursue it and develop it and see if I could do the most with it that I could. And, you know, it's early days. But, you know, I think there's a big movement happening in menswear and amongst Irish men.
But what about the movement that happened with you that we could probably see a few years ago in terms of, like, a lot of the stuff, as I say, social media, etc. Like, around 08 and 09, you were playing your finals, you were winning, you were losing, you were getting into trouble, you were being kicked off the pitch by hitting the referee's notebook, or there were the headlines of news was thrown a duster at somebody. Maybe two of the reasons why you wanted to write your book, to get that stuff across in terms of your explanations. But all of these things, and I don't want to use the words Beckham and David, but in some way, like, you have to do something else rather than do the sport that you're doing, and therefore if you have an idea and therefore have a door open because of who you are, you've got to early enough go through that door before you're 36 and 37 saying, wow, I wonder, could I be a pundit on TV, what else can I do now? In other words, that, you know, you have to see it early enough and go with it, whatever it is it happens to be.
Yeah, I suppose you do. I think if you feel that, you know, you have enough of a point of view and enough of a knowledge base to be able to back up what it is you want to do, because if you don't have that knowledge base, I think there's a difference between having an interest in something and having a knowledge of something, you know what I mean? I often listen to people and they say, oh, I'm really interested in such and such, whatever it might be.
But did you feel that you naturally had a knowledge about...
Yeah, I think I have enough of a knowledge.
About fashion?
I think in menswear,
was not just an interest?
Well, the interest became a knowledge, you know what I mean? The interest allowed me to research, and I read, and I... Still look online, I read blogs, and I keep an eye out for what's happening, and social media is a big part of informing what I do and informing what every brand does, I think. But ultimately you have to be able to back it up, because if you don't, the Dunns people will see through it, the consumer will see through it, the media people will see through it, you know. So I wouldn't do it if it didn't have integrity, Dave, and I think it has integrity.
Okay, you have the integrity and you have the interest. How far does the interest go? I mean, like, for instance, would you find yourself, I think I'll just go over to London Fashion Week for a week or so and just check things out?
Yeah, I've been over, there's a London men's week menswear collections that happen twice a year. I've been over there. I've been invited over by brands and just gone over out of interest myself. So yeah, I think things like that are important, and they're a sign of how far menswear has come, I think, in terms of, you know, usually it was like, we'll say you would have London Fashion Week and you'd have a day at the end of London Fashion Week dedicated to menswear.
Right.
And this would be repeated in New York and in Paris and all these places. But now New York has just had their very first men's week last year. London's menswear shows are running for the last two or three years. So, like, it's just a sign of the growth. I think that it's a very lucrative market now, menswear, and brands are reflecting that and in how they promote themselves. And
well, tell me then about the whole, like, the idea of trends in fashion, because people always talk about trends in fashion. I've got the impression that you're more of a zen in fashion. You're higher than trends. Like, trends are for other people.
I don't know. I think, I don't try and push kind of my own sense of style or my own taste levels onto people at all. Like, I kind of dress whatever way I feel.
You're getting married soon, Paul. I don't know if you're getting involved in anything in terms of the doilies or who's sitting at what table or whatever, but are you getting involved in anything exactly what you're going to wear? Do you know what you're going to wear?
I know what I'm going to wear, but I don't have it. I actually don't have it yet.
Well, is it bespoke? I mean, are you going to get it made somewhere? Are you going to make it yourself? Are you going to design it?
I've been talking with the Dunns people, the Dunns design team. So we're going to work on something for the day, and I probably will have a backup that I'll buy as well to see, and I'll see one of the two, but it'll be a very simple suit.
You know, when you started all this kind of thing, people were fascinated by it all because they hadn't seen it before from a GAA player. And in many ways, you were already kind of, like, famous, obviously, for so many different reasons in terms of your All-Irelands and all the other awards you've won as well. But do you think in some ways that there was a certain bad boy reputation now and again that actually, looking back now, probably kind of helped kick-started you an extra 0 to 60 like that? No, you're shaking your head the other way. Okay, fair enough.
I don't know.
You, you,
I don't
you could do without that. First of all, were you a bad boy? And secondly, was it unfair that you were portrayed that way? Because you weren't really.
Look, I was in trouble. I was in plenty of trouble at various times. You know, I felt after a particular time, it became a bit. It just became a bit sinister in that. I was going on the field and, you know, I felt I was putting up with a bit of stuff now that I shouldn't have had to deal with.
Yeah.
And it was kind of left go because of the previous I had been involved in. Yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah. I kind of had to just take that and just say that's the way it is now and try and get on with it. But it was tough from that point of view at times. I think the only thing I would say about that is, Dave, I think that maybe at the start, I started, you know, writing about menswear and I think that people, maybe an official GA, maybe looked at that and kind of saw me as like somebody who was wanted to be in the newspapers and was writing in the newspapers and was being photographed. And you know what it was to me? I was starting out on a certain, you know what I mean? I wanted to get to a place where I had a clothing label. And this was my entry point into the industry. It's no more than it's no more than maybe radio. You have to start somewhere, and I think that maybe me doing that, it became, you know, something that maybe officials and official GA will say, looked at and said, you know, he's kind of lost the run of himself a little bit maybe, or he's into kind of himself. And I was only just really trying to find my way in that industry so that I could maybe get to a certain level where I could have a clothing line, have a business. And
yeah, you that say thing, that you know? In terms of kind of an explanation of it. I just find that absolutely pathetic. The GAA were worried that you might be doing something that wasn't very GAA. The exact same thing happened with Alex Ferguson, and I hated him for it, and David Beckham. David Beckham like was getting a bit more famous in terms of his modelling and all that kind of thing. He was marrying a Spice Girl and all that, and Alex Ferguson didn't like that. Hard luck. He was delivering every week on Saturday afternoon, so Ferguson should have shut up and the GAA should shut up as well. Surely, if you want to do something that happens to be a bit outside the norm, there's nothing bloody well wrong with that.
Well, I suppose I felt like I did deliver.
Yeah.
When I played.
So shut up, GAA.
And I made sure, like, I probably put a bit of pressure on myself in doing what I did, but I made sure my performances were good. But I think, you know, like, it's understandable in a way too, Dave, that you get a bit, a misrepresentation maybe is what I would call it. And I felt like saying, but like, just read what I'm writing first of all, and don't look, never mind the pictures, and don't look at the fact that it's fashion, this word fashion, really, it's not a word I like actually, and I just have, like, it's very flimsy and kind of throwaway, and I feel like there's a bit more to this kind of, you know,
than I mean, just, we're talking culture and art here and everything else besides.
Yeah, you are.
And like, some of the things that you've done, like, I mean, in having to live with it, for instance, in knocking the book out of the referee's hand that time, like with that kind of thing, in terms of like you asked him 4 questions, you might have expected, I don't know what happens on the pitch, would you have expected, would any other referee have given you an answer to your quite simple questions of why am I getting booked?
Well, I don't know, look, you know what? My reaction kind of took care of all that conversation because it was a poor reaction and it became the...
Yeah, but get became, over it, everybody.
Of course.
Why is it headlines?
You know, I was a bit frustrated in that. I was looking for answers and I wasn't getting the answers, but, you know, you can't do what I did either. And I paid the price for that. And it probably followed me for a little while, you know. And I was able to handle it eventually, you know. But, you know, that was just one of those things, you know. And I think at the time, it was just a case of there's much I can say, you know, except take my punishment and try and move on from it.
Yeah, just as a matter of interest, what do you call it? You don't write, do you, blog-wise or anything else about sport?
I don't at the moment, no, I don't, because I was playing and I just felt like, you know, you kind of are compromising yourself a little bit. And but I might, you know, and in the future it's something I probably would like to do, but I never really got too into it. You know, I think there's in the world of people doing it at the moment, Dave, a lot of pundits and writers and people with opinions, and I just kind of, for that reason, I just said, yeah, I was playing, and I just said, you know, there's enough fellas at that kind of thing, so I never got too involved in it.
Just also, by the way, like when I mentioned earlier on about reading dictionaries and that, do you still read poetry? Would you still open a dictionary and go through it?
I don't know where you got that from now.
So you don't
I know read, where you're picking that up from.
You don't read dictionaries. I quite like reading dictionaries, frankly. I can't look through a dictionary, no problem. It's like one of the things I love doing is looking at maps. Maps, also, that's where that place is, and there's the capital of that.
I love that. We just bought a globe.
A nice, big, colourful map. You just bought a globe.
We just bought a globe. But I love, I have a dictionary app on my phone, the poetry stuff. I'm not sure, no, maybe I wouldn't be reading too much of that, but yeah, I do. I like, you know, words. I find
you like words.
The right word, yeah, you know what I mean? If you can use the right words in the right place at the right time, you know, I think you can.
Yeah.
That might sound a bit silly.
No. By the way, just to get back to the clothes and Dunn Stores and this range, what's the range called?
So the range is called, this current collection is called Vanguard. Vanguard is the English for avant-garde, which is actually some kind of a philosophical concept back in the
60s. You know what John? Yeah, it was. You know what John Lennon said? What is avant-garde? And he said, "I haven't got a clue." Anyway,
yeah, well, there's the philosophical side of it. I haven't really got a clue about, but the anglicised version, Vanguard, is the lead unit of a military formation back in medieval times.
Okay.
And they used to go out ahead. That smaller unit used to go out ahead to secure passage for the main bodies of the army.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of a dangerous occupation, and there was a lot of risk involved. But I actually, in the note that I sent to Margaret Heffernan, I had used the word Vanguard in it, and from there I thought, you know what, that might be a good name for the whole collection. So with the Dunn's design team, then I developed what I had brought in. We developed that into a bigger 22 piece collection called Vanguard, with a little bit of a military influence in it. But
and is it there yet? Is it in the shops?
It's in the shops now. Right. It's online at dunstores.com. It's in about 30
and
stores.
Somebody else who's in there too is Padraig Harrington. He's done a range of golf clothing.
Yeah.
Did you look at, did you talk to, did you take inspiration from in any way?
I definitely
at all?
Looked at.
Even I don't mean from his designs, but from actually the way one might go about putting them there.
Yeah, I did. I looked at a lot of the stuff, like Paul Costello's in there as well, and I would have even gone to London, to the London men's collections, I would have looked at Paul Costello's collections quite closely. So,
by the way, some of the, finally, I just want to say that some of the stuff I've been saying there is almost sounds vaguely kind of negative, which it isn't really. Because, like, you know, the most popular GAA player on Twitter, 3-time All-Star, 4 times winner of the All-Irelands, former Footballer of the Year, the best wing forward in the country, all of these kind of things, blah, blah. You did retire very suddenly. You went back. Where are you now in terms of?
I don't know. I went away, Dave, because, you know, I was just not enjoying it at the time, and I was also nowhere in terms of getting any of this done, making any of this stuff.
Yeah, you need to give it a full whack, do you?
You do. Mm. And I got it set up, and I got it lined up, and I felt, you know, that maybe I had a bit more in the tank.
Yeah.
From a playing point of view, so.
Yeah. Okay, just one last thing on all of that there. When you play and all that, much as this joy, the winning is everything philosophy. Winning really is everything, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay, I'm going to go something completely different to meet halfway, because I wouldn't necessarily know an awful lot about fashion or indeed GAA. So if I was to play a song for Paul Galvin, what would it be? Oh, by the way, yeah, congratulations. When are you getting married? Sorry, how's Louise? What's happening?
Yeah, Louise is good. We're getting married on New Year's. So
right.
we're excited for that now.
And you're getting married in Ireland?
Yeah.
And you're going to honeymoon in Ireland?
Oh,
I might go over to Abu Dhabi and do a bit of work on the side.
I don't think in Ireland, no.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't know. Actually, it's that booked yet, would you believe that?
I would. Cheapers, absolutely. Yeah. I would, yeah. Sorry, let's get back to that question I mentioned earlier on about music. If I was to play a song for you, Paul, which I want to do right now, what would it be? Is there any song you really like an awful lot?
You know what? I'm going to say, I don't know if you've got any Jay-Z. Do you have any Jay-Z?
Jay-Z, I do, of course.
I'm a big fan of Jay-Z, but
right.
Would you have Lucifer? You know that song, Lucifer?
We have
Jay-Z?
Lucifer.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, do you want to hear Lucifer?
I'd love to hear that.
For Paul Galvin and the new Vanguard collection in Dunn Stores all over the place, in at least 30 or 40 stores. You have another 100 to go,
13,
by the way.
13 or 14 stores.
Oh, 13 or 14. Yeah, well, there's a lot more to do as well.
That's the first one. We have others in the pipeline, so long may it continue.
Okay, long may it continue indeed. Listen, Paul, thanks so much for dropping in. Good man yourself.
Thanks,
I'm going to play this now, Jay-Z, Lucifer. Take it easy.
Great.